And welcome back. It's midday. I'm joined by J. Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
And Judy joins us on Skype, and we are delighted to talk to you. So we're going to talk about a new production at Pipeline. It's called Pipeline. It's at the Everyman Theater. It's streaming through next month. So what does the title Pipeline refer to? We've heard about the Colonial Pipeline that just got, you know, hacked by some Russian hackers. We've heard about the school-to-prison pipeline. What kind of pipeline is this?
Well, this, I should say first, Tom, is a 2017 play by Dominique Morisseau. And she has written about industry, which has its own pipeline. In the past, you might remember her play Skeleton Crew was produced at Center Stage back in 2018. But Pipeline is your second guess. It's a play about the school-to-prison pipeline that funnels kids from high school to prison. Skeleton Crew was about industry dealing unjustly with workers. Pipeline is about schools, private as well as public, dealing unjustly with students. Specifically, Pipeline is about the struggles of a black high school student named Omari. Interestingly, though, Omari isn't the play's protagonist. That's his mother, Naya. Naya teaches English in a tough urban high school. This is a school where a fellow teacher's face was cut by relatives of a failing student. Naya's divorced. She's raising Omari on her own, although his father is paying for him to attend an exclusive boarding school. The play begins with Naya leaving a voicemail message for Omari's father, and this sets up the plot. You're going to hear Alicia Gamble playing Naya. Let's listen.
We need to talk. It's about our son. He got in a fight on school grounds. They're talking kicking him out. They're talking pressing charges. I don't know what they're going to. I'm exhausted. You know that?
That's Alicia Gamble in the Everyman Theater's virtual production of Pipeline. So, Judy, boy, this sounds like a pretty intense piece, and that sounds like a pretty intense performance. What's your take? How does Alicia Gamble and the rest of the cast handle this kind of intense material?
It is very intense, and Alicia Gamble's portrayal is very intense. She's a performer that I know primarily from musicals. I've seen her many times at Signature Theater in Arlington, Virginia. I think this is the first time I've seen her in a non-musical production, and she shows us a mother who is desperate and stressed and terrified for her son. I think you could hear some of that in that clip. She loves Omari with everything she's got, and she doesn't know what to do or if she can do it alone. Dylan J. Fleming plays Omari. He's a young man, a character filled with rage, but you don't really feel that in this performance. He's resentful. He's frustrated. He's fed up with his school. He's fed up with his largely absent dad. The character is written as a powder keg. He shoved a teacher. But Dylan Fleming doesn't quite convey that fury. And then we have his distant father, Xavier, who's played by Jefferson A. Russell, a company member at Everyman. Xavier's a businessman. He's cold. He's detached, not just toward his son, but also toward his ex-wife, Naya. Jefferson Russell lets us see that detachment. Xavier makes no effort to understand his son. He has no time for anyone who won't live by his rules, by his code. When he finally comes to see Naya, the friction between them rises to the surface almost immediately. Let's listen.
How'd it get to this? How'd it get this far over the line?
I don't know.
He say anything to you, give you any answers? Something funny?
You think he gives me answers?
I'm just asking. He ought to. He should be giving you answers. He's your son.
He's your son, too.
I know that. What is that?
That's what?
That just felt like a little bit of accusation.
I didn't do that.
No?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Jefferson A. Russell and Alicia Gamble, they're in Pipeline, which is the latest show that's streaming at the Everyman Theater here in Baltimore. So, Judy, are there only three characters in the whole piece? I mean, this sounds like a relatively small play about a very big subject. How does that come across, especially in this virtual format?
Well, actually, Tom, there are six characters. The other three are supporting characters. This is the second time that I've seen this play on the small screen. In February, on PBS's Live from Lincoln Center, they broadcast a film version of the play's world premiere. At Everyman, it's directed by Paige Hernandez. Pipeline is a fairly intimate play, so that's something that can work quite well on a small screen. A lot of the lighting, a lot of Everyman's lighting for this film production, lighting's by Harold F. Burgess II, and a lot of it is very dark. That can be effective in a theater live, but it comes across a little murky on a small screen. I should say the production does include some pretty cool projections, especially when Naya is teaching Gwendolyn Brooks's poem, We Real Cool. That poem is a kind of leitmotif in the play, and we see words projected on stage and on the sides of the stage. The poem ends with the words, We Die Soon. They're haunting words, and it's haunting imagery. So some of the elements are not as sharp as they might be, not just the filming, but it's unfortunate that Omari doesn't come across with at least as much angst as his mother. But this is a play that focuses on racism, on the racial divide in education. It's sort of a fictional look at what Anna Deavere Smith does in a more documentary way in her school-to-prison play, Notes from the Field. But Dominic Morisot, the playwright of Pipeline, zeroes in on the challenges of raising a black son, on being a black son. And the play feels even more crucial today than it did 4 years ago when it debuted.
Yeah, Dominic Morisot, really, really important figure in the American theater now. So, Judy, Everyman Theater also has something else going on. It's called the Summer Six Pack. What's that all about?
That's a series of six virtual weekly play readings of new or relatively new plays. There's a wide range of subjects and issues and styles. It's a chance to get an early look at new work. There's a new play by Colleen Sinnott Jennings, who wrote the Queen's Girl trilogy that Everyman produced. Her play, new one, focuses on beds. There's a historical drama. There's a romantic comedy by Baltimore's R. Eric Thomas. The series started this past Monday with The Lifespan of a Fact. That's a play based on a book about a magazine intern assigned to fact-check an essay by a prominent writer. The reading didn't make me eager to see this play fully staged. It's essentially a 90-minute, increasingly heated debate about style versus accuracy. But Eric Berryman and especially Bruce Randolph Nelson give heated performances, red hot, as the intern and the writer.
We have a little clip. Let's listen to it. We have Deborah Hazlett and Bruce Randolph Nelson in this reading of Lifespan of a Fact. Here it is.
When I got up this morning, I thought this was going to be my legacy piece. And now?
I started with the facts. I really did. But the more you know, I let it go. I wrote to Levi's spirit, not to its body. I'm not interested in accuracy. I'm interested in truth.
That's Bruce Randolph Nelson, by the way, and Deborah Hazlett. Lifespan of a Fact. I guess the digital format is tough. We got about 20 seconds left. It's tough to do stuff in the digital format of any sort, isn't it?
It is, but I have to say readings are a pretty good fit for Zoom. Instead of watching actors seated at music stands, you see them in their Zoom boxes, and it's not that far a stretch.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we've got the Everyman Theater. They've got this online production of Dominic Morisot's Pipeline that is streaming online. If you have a ticket, it's there until July 11th. And the Lifespan of a Fact, a reading series of plays at Everyman. We've got a link to information about all that stuff at WIPR.org/midday. Thanks, Judy. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too, Tom.
And our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, will join me next Thursday. We're going to talk about a show at the Theater Project called Scenes from 73 Years. That's it for us today. Coming up on Monday here on Midday, the latest on the national and global dimensions of the COVID-19 pandemic with Dr. Gigi Granvall, an immunologist with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, and Beth Benner. She's the director of the Women's Housing Coalition here in Baltimore. I hope you can join us then. Stay tuned now for Reveal. That's coming up right after the NPR newscast at the top of the hour. And tonight, Be sure to download the Daily Dose. That's WYPR's compendium of the day's top news story with host Aaron Henkin. And be sure to check out the Chesapeake Connect podcast as well. It's a series that I'm hosting about the importance of regionalism. Midday's director and engineer is the bold, the beautiful, the young, the restless, the one and only Luke Spicknell. Mallory Pinkard Pierre is our supervising producer. Rob Sivak is our senior producer and a new grandfather. Jemila Krimple is WYPR's digital content director. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.